care. Well, I'm just a devil with a love and despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Katz with the Dish. This is John Katzalamidis. I write the Katz Report for the Las Vegas Sun and Las Vegas Weekly, print editions and websites, and I write for all the Greenspun media group titles. How you doing, Tricia McCrone?
I'm good.
Bubbly as always.
There you go. I still have this cough, so my voice is still a little raspy this week, so I apologize.
Well, not measurably so.
Well, I apologize for viewers who have to listen to my voice, or listeners, sorry, who have to listen to my voice
I'm
all
looking
the
at
time.
You now. You shouldn't have to apologize to viewers.
There you go.
I am your audience. I'm your studio audience.
Thank you.
And for the and speaking on behalf of the studio audience, I say, hubba, hubba.
Well, I guess for radio, like dressing up a little bit when it's only radio today is, you know.
Yeah, you could.
Make me feel better, I guess. Because, I just can't get rid of this cough. So I'm like, my voice is kind of funky.
What's the matter with you?
I don't know. What else? What isn't wrong with me? That's more like the question. But let's get to what's going on. More importantly, I had to eat a little crow over
burger.
The weekend that I loved that we had Jeff Timmons on last week.
Jeff is a great guest.
Another one of my favorite people town.
He never fails to disappoint.
He doesn't. Yeah,
he's always a great guest.
He's always fun and just is out there and crazy as we are, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, when we recorded last week, by the time it aired Friday morning on the radio, the game was tied up between the Celtics and the Miami Heat.
Which is, as we provide a little bit of backstory here, we have had a long-running conversation about LeBron James and the departure from Cleveland Cavaliers and his decision to take his talents
to South Beach.
To South Beach and win a championship with the Miami Heat. You and Jeff were offended greatly by the manner in which he made that move. And every time Jeff comes in, we reopen that file.
Yes.
Which happened to be last week.
And the fact that we also have an ongoing bet that you took before the playoffs, almost, you know, soon after the season started.
It was obviously
a late start to the season, that you took the entire field.
Yep.
I took the entire field.
You got the field, I got the heat.
And you got the heat. So basically, I had every opportunity, and I said, I will take that bet, so we have our big bet.
You had the Lakers. You had the Golden State Warriors. Mm-hmm. You had the Atlanta Hawks.
The Celtics. We had the Pacers.
The Atlanta Magic.
We had the Thunder.
All those teams.
We have all of them. Yes, I have
every team.
And even the Cavaliers.
You had the Harlem Globetrotters somehow
exactly.
in that.
I had everybody.
Every team.
And yet.
Since the beginning of recorded time against the Heat.
To me, it looks like that the Celtics were going to win. I was very hopefully thinking this.
A slam dunk, as it were.
Yes, exactly. And I thought, there's no way that LeBron's even making it to the finals. I'm so happy. And even as the Saturday show aired on Vegas TV, the television version aired on Vegas TV on Saturday, this could still have been the case.
Yeah, it was 3-3 by then.
Mm-hmm. Well, by Sunday, when the show aired again, it was all over, and I very much sounded very cocky, overconfident, and wrong. So I apologize to all the Vegas TV viewers who watched the show and therefore had to see me like profess the fact that the Celtics took it and that, you know, LeBron was sent home early, and yes, now he is
a couple of points. I mean, one point is that it would be even more rewarding for you to have LeBron lose in the finals for a second straight
year to the
Thunder. And as we sit here now, they're down 1-0.
Yes, they are. Yay!
But I will say this about LeBron, everything else aside, the Game 6 performance that he put on in the first half against the Celtics was one for the ages. He was unstoppable.
Deny the fact that he is one of the best basketball players of all time, which is why it stung even more to have him handle things the way that he handled them.
30 points by intermission in Boston with if you lose, you're out on the line. So it was a pretty incredible performance. And yet I do understand where you guys are coming from.
Yes.
And I firmly understand the challenge they have with this Thunder team because they are terrifically talented.
The Thunder is my last home. It's and my last
It's usually
home.
The Thunder from down under. No, it's just the Thunder.
I was like,
we got to do a doubleheader with you one night. The Thunder and then the Thunder from down under.
When they came on, I'm like, they're not Australian. They're wearing shirts.
At what point did they
wearing shorts.
Trowel.
I'm very disappointed.
False
in this
advertising.
Matchup.
Get Adam Steck on the phone.
I'm very disappointed. But no, so and the best is I saw Jeff Timmons Saturday night at the Vegas Magazine Party.
Right?
And it had happened, you know, because obviously the game's a little bit earlier for the East Coast. So the game had happened, and the two of us were like, oh, man. And I'm like, and the show is re-airing tomorrow.
Timmons, you know, we tried to couch it a little bit with by saying, you know, as we sit here, but it was going nowhere. That philosophy was going nowhere with you guys because you kept just hammering LeBron
James. Well, I finally had two against one. It's usually everyone's like, LeBron's amazing. He's wonderful. We love LeBron. What he did was right. He did the right thing and da-da-da-da.
I think and a I lot finally of people disagree
with that,
Dishy.
And I finally have a Clevelander in, or not, you know, close yeah. to Cleveland. He's a couple hours away. But somebody who is on my side. So we have it in there. I have to take advantage of it. And it was just perfect timing. And yes, so I looked stupid and I deserve to be ridiculed for it. But they are down one game.
Yeah,
they are
down one game.
Let's
and
go
I think
Thunder.
I do think a lot of people agree with you and Jeff on this.
Thank
I really
you.
Do. Lots and lots of sports fans, especially when he went up in front of the audience in Miami when they were first signed and said some of the practices are going to be tougher than the games with the Heat. That was another thing that irritated everybody in the league. So he created this, LeBron did. It's
he
his
did.
Fault. And if he wins a championship, that'll erase a lot of strife. But he's going to have to win a championship. Now let's talk about our show.
Yes.
Today.
So I don't embarrass myself anymore in future weeks.
We have coming up next, Frankie Moreno and his brother Tony. They just signed a new contract, extension at the Stratosphere, who's thrilled to have him there. We're going to talk about that and his new CD and other happenings in the world of Moreno. So stick around. I know we will.
It's Monty Rock III, and you're listening to Cats with a Dish.
Yeah! I cannot believe that I'm working at Bourbon. Thank you so much.
Don't even mention it.
Oh my God. Arsenal Live with Bourbon. Hands down, favorite record ever.
Me too. I would have killed to be at that concert. That record really changed my life. I decided if I couldn't see Stacey Jacks, I was going to be Stacey Jacks.
That's Julianne Hough and Diego Boneta in the new hard rock musical Rock of Ages, featuring the hair metal hits of the 1980s. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. Set on the Sunset Strip in 1987 and soundtracked by the hard rock hits of that era, Rock of Ages has the thinnest possible story to support its two-hour-plus running time, built around the vapid romance between two aspiring singers played by Huff and Boneta. A musical doesn't need an intricate, compelling plot if it has sensational production numbers and charismatic lead actors, but Rock of Ages has neither. It's packed with songs that have roused arena rock crowds for years and succeeded in the Broadway version of the show. But it manages to turn them into something as exciting and dangerous as a theme park review. I give Rock of Ages 2 stars out of 5. Also opening this week in limited release is Moonrise Kingdom, the new film from writer-director Wes Anderson. It's set in 1965 on a fictional island off the coast of New England and features Bruce Willis, Frances McDormand, Bill Murray, and Edward Norton, as well as newcomers Jared Gilman and Kara Hayward, who play a couple of preteens who run away from home because they're in love.
Can you read a map?
Uh-huh.
I do cartography. I feel we should go halfway today and halfway tomorrow since you're a less experienced tiger and you're wearing Sunday school shoes.
They're not really Sunday school shoes.
Oh, thank you.
As is typical for an Anderson film, Moonrise Kingdom is meticulously designed and almost fussy in the way it's constructed. But the central preteen romance is actually quite sweet, making Moonrise Kingdom one of the more successful Anderson movies to connect with an audience. I give it 3 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and online at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. Sitting with us now are two men who were prevented from performing during an open mic night at a jazz club in Vienna, Austria, not long ago. We'll talk of that. But more about their successes here at the Stratosphere Hotel Casino. Welcome, my friends, Frankie and Tony Moreno.
Hello, hello.
How's it going, fellas?
Good. Good job. How are you guys?
So there's big news happening. There at the tower.
All kinds of stuff.
It's just a cauldron of news.
The tower. Yeah. Is that like just...
The tower. Those of them know.
Is that like the hip new...
Oh, I like that. That's what we're going to call it from now on, the tower.
All right.
Maybe that's a new thing. Maybe I just invented something.
I think you did. The stratosphere might get a little upset though that you're not actually branding their name. But no big whoop.
They don't have anything to be upset about, those people.
Just the tower. People are going to be on Google. I want to see Frankie. The tower. Where's the tower?
I predict they will rename the hotel the tower.
All right. I'm with you.
If you ask,
do you want to make a bet? Do you want to make a bet? I'll take the rest of the field that they want.
Other names. I'll tell you, if these guys ask them to rename the hotel the tower,
they just might. You never know.
6 hours later, it's a tower.
Okay, we're
just
with
a matter of changing some signs.
So you're at
just some signs. It's no
so
big
you're
deal.
At the tower. You're at the tower. And you have big news tonight. Well,
big
by the
news.
Time this airs, it will have already happened. But this is Wednesday. Yeah. So what is happening tonight?
Tonight's our 100th show.
Congratulations.
I know.
Which is crazy because I've seen them play 112 times over there.
I awesome. Know. It's a lot of rehearsing.
I think you should just like put Katz on stage permanently since he's in the show. Every single time you're on stage, you will find John Katzelmuse in the show.
He gave back the typewriter, so I don't know how that's going to work.
Typewriter night.
You know, I don't even, the nights that you perform, I don't even try to talk to him or call him because I'm like, oh, he's in Frankie's show. Just out of the blue the other night, I'm like, want to go grab dinner up with the Marinos. Of course you are. Where else would you be?
I go there at least once a week. It's my like Rat Pack hangout, you know? A few weeks ago to the Rat Pack. I don't know if they went that often. But
he's being modest.
I hear we are quite fun to hang around, so I don't know.
They are quite fun to hang around. So anyway, the tower. I mean Stratosphere.
The Stratus Tower.
Be your home for a couple more years, huh? Tell us what's going on.
We just re-signed. So we're re-signed. We did an extension.
Two more years.
Which means, if I have my math right, you are contracted to perform at the Stratosphere through 2015.
Yes.
That's right.
That's
right?
Awesome.
Yeah. Including the time you have on your current contract.
Yeah, not a four-wall deal. It's a straight up
wardrobe.
Well, wardrobe, I have to pick my own wardrobe.
They send a limo out to you.
By the way, great pants. That's all I'm going to say.
Great pants. Always great pants.
They're a little tight. They're usually
Tony and Frankie
tight.
Are well outfitted.
They're nice. Yeah.
We're starting a whole whole suit line.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah.
Oh, now your brand. Wow.
Well, yeah. What happened? Well, we started getting so many.
They're called the tower suits.
They're called the, well, in a way.
Depends on who's in the audience, baby.
So who's
when
in the
you're
pants?
In the audience, Dishy. It's the tower pants.
I usually have a comment on the pants. So
oh, my gosh. Yeah, no.
He's an expert on pants.
We ended up making so many of these suits that people started going and trying to reproduce them and stuff like that. So we said, why don't we actually make a line out of this? So we're calling them the Virtuoso.
Wow.
A tailor that's been doing it for me that we've been working with, expert tailors. They got on board, and they're so, yeah, we got this
so
whole suit line coming out.
We want to buy one of these suits.
One which I'm sure Katz will.
One of us commoners.
There's gonna be different levels of the suit. I mean, like the ones I wear on stage, a certain kind of fabric so I can move in them better, you know, because I'm jumping upside down on a piano.
Yeah,
so
it's like made out of hemp or something, right?
It's all hemp. It's all hemp. Most of my pants are edible.
There you go. Wow.
By the loosest definition, all pants are edible.
Right? Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so I mean, we'll have that come out. Yeah, it's something that, I mean, God, that's not really the main event going on, but I mean, it's definitely kind of a cool thing. So we'll get those out there pretty soon. Some promotions on those.
Well, what is the main thing? The main thing is a new extension.
Well, our records come, our new album's coming out. Like the scheduled release is mid July right now.
Mm-hmm.
Could be a little sooner. It could be a little bit after. I mean, push it. But that's the tentative release, July 13th, mm-hmm. actually.
So now this new album, does it contain songs that you wrote on your vacation?
She's on it. Well, no, what this actually is, this is like our favorite stuff from all the records we've done.
By the way, thanks for setting me up with that one. Yes. Okay, go ahead.
It's a combination of stuff. It's like there'll probably end up being 12 songs on the record. You know, mm-hmm. we got about 15, probably narrow that down to 12. But it's stuff that me and Tony and Ricky wrote.
Mm-hmm.
All
Ricky is your other brother.
Yeah, he's like the Emilio Estevez of the family.
What are you guys?
So what are you guys both Charlie Sheen?
You're both Sheen and Martin Sheen and Charlie Sheen. No, your dad's Martin Sheen.
Yeah.
So you're both Charlie, different sides of Charlie.
I don't know. We're the different sides of Charlie. The good Charlie.
So are there ever like any? Because I call them the Katz Chronicles, of course, because you know that Katz is on that. So will there be some songs from that journey?
Yeah, half of it, about six of it, will be brand new songs from that trip.
Okay.
That we wrote for this record on that trip. And then the other six will be, you know, the favorites off the old records that always get a good mm-hmm. audience
yeah.
reaction. Moonlight Matinee, I'm Sorry, Black Mascara.
So wait, so those aren't already
Tangerine
on?
Honey.
They're on records that I've done, but those records I've done are just small independent release things. So this is going to be our first, like, boom, boom
big
thing.
So it's
like, so the amount of people have heard, we've actually sold a lot of those records, but I mean, we recut this with the band.
And you hired an actual professional bass player, I understand.
Yeah, I mean, Tony did all the photo shoots.
Oh, Tony!
I was trying to get Tony involved.
Tony!
Tony's good for the photo shoots.
Tony's amazing. And quite
Tony
a writer.
Is amazing.
Yes, I think I've flipped your book many a times on Cast of the Dead. When is another book coming out, Tony?
Well, I'm working on my second one right now. I'm hoping sometime in 2016.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, once you're done at the tower,
it depends on how many times
in the
bathroom.
To then come out with a new book.
When the tower is renamed, you'll coincide the release of the book with
it's going to be a very tall book.
The taller the tower, the longer the shaft.
Carlos Santana once said that, but he said it in Spanish.
Oh my God.
And it took 5 minutes.
It did take. There was a trombone solo in the middle of the story.
Oh my God, that was brilliant. Just a sampling of Tony's.
What Dish was talking about. What Dish was talking about. We took a trip, as a lot of people, most people who, everybody who reads my column.
Wait. Let me ask the question. So, guys, tell me about the trip.
There it goes.
There was a trip. And we went to Italy together.
You will not hear from me again the rest of the interview.
And Austria. We went to Austria.
Went to Austria and Vienna, Austria. And then to Florence and Venice, Italy, on a songwriting junket.
Junket, yeah,
and,
I guess.
And you guys had long talked about how you write songs.
Yeah.
And it has to be seen to be appreciated, honestly. It's a pretty incredible process how you guys come up with an idea and get a song
out. Well, the cool thing about it is because, you know, if it's just one person writing a song, that's not interesting. Like, to sit in and watch somebody write, first of all, people don't ever let you do that. When they're writing, it's like their moment, you know what I mean? But if you were to sit in and watch somebody write, if it's one person sitting there writing a song, it's all in their head. You know, mm-hmm. they're just, what are you watching? Just a guy think. You know, it's mm-hmm. not fun. But with the three of us doing it, we're bouncing ideas off each other. You see the song become almost tangible real quick, like in front of your eyes.
It's
you
like
know
one thought going around three different individuals.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. Now, you guys, you're going to sing a song that was born and has now been recorded on that trip. And I remember, if I remember this one right, you guys were in a hotel, right, in Florence when you were talking about it. And, it started to really form on a train.
Yeah, this one was one of those ones that we were joking around. Like, all of our songs start as I don't want to say as a joke, but like jokes and inside jokes that we start saying will spark an idea. And we had just come back from Vienna, and then we were going to Mozart's house.
I heard that there was a little bit of, sorry, I'm talking again. There was a little bit of a,
half the show, right?
That there was a little bit of a issue that you guys broke some rules when it came time to touching certain pianos that should not be touched.
Well, yes and no.
So did you or did you not? Play, was it Mozart's or somebody's piano?
We play Beethoven's piano.
Beethoven's piano.
In fact, we wrote a melody. We sat down at Beethoven's piano and just quickly came up with something before we got in trouble.
Before you got kicked out.
Yeah. Which never happened. Yeah.
We videoed it.
Took that back. We went to a park where Mozart used to create symphonies in. A whole different guy, you know, because this was Beethoven's piano.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we sit in this park and then we listen to the thing and we listen to the melody and we're like, ooh, we got an idea that we can write a song off the melody that was on Beethoven's. Yeah.
That one.
Yeah.
That was what it started
Wow,
as.
Cass.
That was what it started. I played Beethoven's piano.
Would you play chopsticks?
Yeah, he did.
Did you play chopsticks?
I played
For Elise, a little bit of For Elise.
Wow.
I played Funeral for a Friend by Elton John beginning to end. And managed not to get caught. It was the most incredible luck I had.
I did not know you played the piano, Catsy.
Well,
touch Beethoven's piano, anyone can
play. Everyone just plays. Like it was on the rolling thing that keeps going.
Beethoven couldn't even really play. That guy was a real dick, by the way.
I heard, yeah.
We had a burning resentment against Beethoven by the end of this
year. Yeah, we were traveling all over trying to find the official death mask and the house that he lived in. Well, he may have lived in this house.
Paid like $50 to get into the house he may have walked
may
into.
Have this house. And then all the pictures of him are on the wall, just him scowling at us like, I'll show
death
you.
Death mask. I love the line too. We went to like our third purported Beethoven house. We saw another death mask and Frankie goes, this death mask looks nothing like the death mask we saw earlier today.
totally
different person.
Like a different man. I'm even beginning to question the whole existence of Beethoven.
He moved 69 times or 67 times in his life in Vienna.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was always on the move. Isn't that curious? And I'm sure that they can charge for every single one of those reservations.
They
do.
I know.
Yeah.
They got us.
I love the
plaque. His nickname was Suitcase Beethoven.
Cause of death, suffocation by death mask.
Yeah, that was. She kept trying to apply a death mask before it was death.
Death mask. Who'd wear that?
apparently it's a lethal accessory.
That is, you know, I listened to this whole conversation and not mask. Once did I think, what is a death mask? Why is someone wearing a death mask and why are there 100
It's like a deathbed. Who'd buy that?
By Serta. All right, but this song we're going to play, we got to get to the song.
All right.
It's a beautiful song, great song. You play it live in the show now. And it started in Florence on a train.
It was a quick idea came up. We started throwing around, and it was cool because Denise Trasello was out there taking pictures.
Wonderful photographer.
Yeah, she was with us, and she was taking photographs and videos. So anytime like we get an idea for a song, we got an idea. She'd pull out her camera, start videoing, and we would video the whole song be written. Which right now, who cares to see that? But later, I mean, it'd be cool, you know, if the song does something, if the song gets some notoriety and people start liking it, it's cool to go back and see it actually being written. Like, imagine if you could watch, you know, one of the Beatles create one of their songs. If it becomes a success, like, to actually see the
him
sitting there with a guitar writing the song.
That's great.
It's cool stuff, you know.
It'd also be a fun thing, you know, there I'm going into marketing, to, like, if you're going to do some sort of a DVD of your show, to kind of put in some of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, also
and now we've been doing that in our live show, too.
Thing, you know?
In the live show, we'll put, like, a clip of us actually writing the song and humming the melody.
Oh, great.
And then, boom, the band. So it's kind
of
cool to see it from an idea into a show.
From a little egg to a child.
Yeah, exactly. There exactly.
You go. Little egg to an omelet.
Into a little cane, a little crazy psycho child.
So the song is called now. We have it.
Missing You. It's called Missing You.
Missing You.
And I'll play a little bit of it. Yeah?
Play of it.
Late at night, when the world's at peace, I lie awake and think about you. I hear your voice talking in my sleep. I don't wanna wake up here without you. I count the stars, I count the lies, I count the tears that left my eyes. So many nights it felt like pouring rain. But I'll be alright one of these days. But I'll never be the same. Now you're gone, gone, baby, gone. The memories keep hanging on. I hear your name in every song. I'm still missing you. But what we had was once so strong. Now everything just went so wrong. Now you're gone, gone, baby, gone. And I'm still missing you. The tick-tock of the bedroom clock keeps pounding in my head. It's nearly driving me mad. I'm still here, alone in this bed, lost in the good times we had. And now you're gone, gone, baby, gone. The memories keep hanging on. I hear your name in every song. I'm still missing you. What we had was once so strong, but everything just went so wrong. Now you're gone, baby, gone, gone, baby, gone, gone, baby, gone. Gone, baby, gone, gone, baby, gone.
Wow, that was beautiful.
You know, that's just a gist of it. There's a lot more to that, but.
That was great.
It was cool because we wrote that and then we went all over Italy, like these different places, and we tried
it out. So you were
basically
missing where to find the right death mask.
Exactly.
That was subliminally.
Changed all the words death masks into baby.
Exactly. That happened.
When in doubt, change the lyric. That's one thing I learned. When in doubt, change the lyric to baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what you took away from the whole.
Yeah. So I could write like a song now.
So now, hey, I do know.
Hey, baby.
There you go. Mm-hmm. I like it. Or you could just say dishy.
Jump in anytime, baby dishy. Dishy baby.
Go.
Dishy baby.
I like it. I think it's good. So now let's hear the story quickly of what happened in Vienna in the club.
Well,
the denial of the club. You tease it in the opening and then, you know, people want to know.
I thought you'd ask about it.
And oh, sorry.
Here you are asking about it.
It was a long, cold walk.
What happened was there was an acquaintance. Somebody's seen Frankie perform at the Nugget, right? A violin player.
Violin
who
player.
Who lived in Vienna.
Yeah.
And knew we were there and said, come down.
Random.
come down to this club called Zwei. Z-W-E.
Zwei.
Zwei. Z-W-E.
Means two.
It means get off the stage, you Las Vegander. so they said, come down and we can... You can take part in this jazz jam with all the musicians in Vienna. It's literally an underground
club. It's just
club.
Like an underground jazz thing where they all get together and they jam. So we're like, oh, awesome.
Yeah. We collectively love the idea, all of us, not just me.
It was hard to find this place.
Not just me.
I'm pretty sure it was your idea, John.
It was not just my idea.
It was a hydro wallet kind of a place in Vienna.
Isn't the places that even Beethoven, what a dick, wouldn't go. You
know? Everybody looked like a human death mask.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a human death mask.
But yeah, it seemed like a good idea at the time. So you all take this long walk.
We walked for, like, it was like 3 miles, which I think is like 28 kilometers.
Following John's little Google app.
I had
and
my phone.
The circles just going in circles.
Our little dot. We're like going in the wrong direction. We walked forever in Vienna to try and find this club.
So you get there.
We find it. It's smoky.
It's
laying on you, this layer of smoke.
Yeah. Horrible.
So automatically the vibe is like, oh God, it's smoky. And so we go in anyway. And there's really not a lot of entertainment.
Well, at that point, you're freezing. Good. You have to go in, right?
Yeah, we had to go in. And she finds us. What's her name? Vanya. The violinist. She finds us and she knows right away. You know, we walk in. She's like, oh my gosh. So we go get seated and everything. And the idea was for us to try and get Frankie to perform some jazz on stage at the piano.
Yeah, they're playing jazz up there. And it's cool. The musicians are good. We're like, I'll
be fun.
Jump up. This is cool. It's a good story to tell. And it's a fun night.
Yeah, well, they don't have the courtesy to speak English, a lot of these people. Yeah,
how so dare weird. They in their own country?
They're all the speaking, are so...
Yeah, like German.
It's all German.
And akin to German, something, or pig Latin, some variation of that.
It's just so non-accommodating.
I was put off by that right away.
Not their own language. Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, I've said that.
And the only German we know is how to ask for rooms and bathrooms.
Yeah. You can say, I would try to say
Dankeschön. Dankeschön. And maybe we should have pulled that out. Our material was going nowhere. So there was this argument being made to let Frankie and Tony on stage to play anything. You were talking about playing some Miles Davis or something.
Yeah, he goes, come up and play some stuff. What do you do? Miles Davis. Yeah, this would be great. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, we're translating to this girl. And that's great. Yeah, we'll set it up in a minute. And then, then he smokes a couple cigarettes. He's having a couple of drinks. Leans over. Where are you guys from, by the way? And she goes, oh, they're from Las Vegas. And he goes, oh. And then he whispers something to her. No.
Kid you not, that's what happened.
Yeah.
What the hell's going on?
I don't know. They didn't let us
play. So there's snobby in a smoky Vienna club against Las Vegas?
It was an instant reaction.
It was. It was visceral. It was like all of a sudden they didn't have time.
It was almost like they just saw the wanted poster. Oh, no.
That's almost a better story.
I would love to have seen you get on the stage in that. Like,
it would have been cool.
Or we have to wrap it up. Thanks to
the tower.
Thanks to my friends, Frankie and Tony. It's been awesome knowing you guys. Honestly, it's been really.
Oh, you're
wild
not
ride.
Gonna. It's been awesome knowing you.
Are you signing,
you
signing off from life here or something?
It's been great.
Great knowing you guys.
Can't make the show tonight. Frankie Marino under contract and with an out. Could you conceivably be out of your contract?
Well,
at
I mean,
this
if everybody
tower?
Ends up hating everybody, yes.
Okay. But. Well, I got him throw that in. You never know.
Yes.
You never know. There could be other
somebody
other
from
suitors.
Vienna. Somebody from Vienna could come in and take over. And then
Zwei wants.
They're gonna open up a Zwei Las Vegas.
Zwei in Las Vegas.
No, we're nice now. We're nice.
They have an open Tuesday afternoon slot.
It's not my idea. Whatever happens,
and also we have to plug Tony's new book coming out in 2016.
The heretofore unnamed work in progress. Go to the book signing April 1st, 2016.
Get your tickets now
at the Tower gift shop.
At the Tower gift shop.
Congratulations to Frankie. Congratulations to Tony. We'll see you guys soon enough. Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays at the Stratosphere. It's a great show. One of my favorite things to do in Las Vegas. Thanks again for coming down.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you guys. Viva Las Vegas! Viva! Viva Las Vegas!